This is the Why We Travel podcast, the podcast dedicated to those who want to explore the world on their terms. Each week, you'll hear from amazing travelers and experts sharing their best travel stories from the road. Listen to their unique travel experiences and get insider tips about their favorite destinations. Whether you're an experienced world nomad or just getting started, this podcast will inspire you, improve your travel skills, change the way you travel, and motivate you to get out and see the world. Discover the art of independent travel and meet fellow travelers in our online community. Now, let's get into it with your host and world traveler, Claus Lauder. Welcome to the show.
Hello, welcome to another episode of the Why We Travel podcast. Today, we want to talk about a very underutilized method and affordable way to travel. We want to talk about language schools and how that can help you to travel the world almost for free. With me on the show, I have Stephanie Anton. She's an Emmy Award-winning television news executive turned entrepreneur and founder of the blog AlmostFreeFamilyTravel.com. She has traveled to 56 countries, 6 continents, most of them almost free, and a lot of them with their family of 5. Stephanie loves to deep dive into the local culture when she travels and helps others travel for almost free. When she's not traveling and on her travels, Stephanie loves to foster kittens, practice yoga, and kayak. So we have a lot to cover, and let's welcome Stephanie to the show. Hi, how are you today?
Oh, I'm fine. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. First question, what was your first or is your first memory about traveling? Maybe in your childhood, what got you the travel bug?
Oh my gosh. I've really always loved to travel, and I went on a trip with my grandmother when I was about 12. And that really opened my eyes to just how different countries feel and different people and different cultures and how exciting that can be. And from then on, I was hooked and I just kept traveling. Every opportunity I could get, I would travel and I would just save money to travel more. And then I've been able to share that with my children. So that's been really exciting.
So you traveled to 56 countries, and that's far more than the average person does. What got you into this kind of extensive travel style? How do you pick countries? How do you pick your destinations where you want to go?
I don't really know what prompts me to pick a country. Maybe I hear about it, or we have an upcoming trip this summer where I just asked my kids, like, where do you want to go? And they picked, I said, pick somewhere, anywhere in the world. And we'll see if we can get there almost free, right? And so they picked Tahiti. So we're going to be going to Tahiti this summer for a couple weeks to explore that area. We haven't been to the South Pacific before, so that's a new portion of the world for us.
Okay, that sounds like a great destination. Now, talking about, and you mentioned that, is traveling is expensive. A lot of people might think it's not doable. It's not in their budget. It holds them back. But you found a way and can recommend something that people actually can travel for far less than they might think it will cost them. Give me a bit of an idea what it is and let our listeners know about it.
Back in 2015, we wanted to take our family on an extended vacation, right? Because the kids were getting older. I realized that I didn't have that much more time with them under the same roof. They were all going to go off to universities and could do things. And so I wanted to do a really big trip, but that's really expensive, right? So I started looking at like exchanging houses and house swapping, and there just wasn't a place to house swap that we wanted to go. So then we looked at using points and miles, and I thought, ooh, maybe that's a way I could do it. And so I started reading up on points and miles. And we ended up taking that trip to Thailand, all 5 of us, for just about free. Because once you get to Thailand, it's super cheap, right, to travel. So we just had to get over there. We had to get 5 free flights. We were able to get 5 free flights. And then we covered a lot of the hotel with points and miles. And then I came back and I'm like, wow, that was great. Like, this is really a way to do it. So since then, we've been traveling almost free. And now I'm starting to teach other people how to do it. It's really being very strategic with what you're purchasing anyway, our groceries and our gas, and where we're putting those purchases in order to earn points and miles to be able to go wherever you want to go.
Mm-hmm. No, that makes absolutely sense. Now, not everyone has a credit card. Not in every country. I know in the US, you can do this very easily. Other countries don't have these kinds of programs. There's a different way, language schools, and that helps you a lot also to dive into the culture. Tell me a little bit about your experience and how you found out that language schools is actually a good way to travel.
Yeah. So I started back in 2016 where my daughter had some time off from school and she wanted to do a volunteer experience abroad somewhere where she could also practice her Spanish. And I said, oh, that sounds fun. I'll go along too. And she actually found a language school in Quito, Ecuador that was offering Spanish classes and then also offering a volunteer experience. And so we explored that idea and decided that sounded like a great way to go to Ecuador. So we spent about a month in Quito, Ecuador, and we actually didn't take classes during that period of time, but we were using their volunteer program. So we both volunteered in a preschool in the San Roque neighborhood, and then we lived in a homestay. So we lived with a family. We had a double room. We got three meals a day. And for 28 days, the cost of everything was $880. That's incredible, right? And now we also can teach people ways to just completely possibly even erase that purchase. So it could be free. That's possible. But even if it's not, $880 for a whole month of food, your homestay, so your accommodations, and for us, it was a volunteer opportunity. That's pretty amazing. And I still am friendly with the family that we stayed with. So it was a great experience.
Tell me a little bit about the cultural experience. Obviously, depending where you are, there is language barriers there, different cultures. What was for you the most impressive experience that you took away from this travel style?
Yeah. So the schools are very, very supportive. So before you go down there or go to the city and arrive, they actually give you a Spanish test or a test in the language, whatever, wherever this is. And they figure out what level you are that you have already in that language so that when you arrive, you're placed in a class with other people in the same language level. And so that way you feel very supported. And they're also, the three that I've looked at, they're very focused on conversational language so that that way you can go out into the community and be able to speak and practice right away. So that's really kind of how it's geared. So I found it a very supportive way. And then in the homestays, both of the homestays that I lived with, those families did not speak English. I don't think they might have spoken English, but they didn't speak English to me because they wanted me to practice, right? And so they're very encouraging and they would ask a lot of questions, you know, what did you do today? And they're very patient because they want you to learn the language and they're trying to help you. So I felt very supportive.
Yeah, I think that's a very good way to learn a language and specifically staying with the people and having day-to-day experiences. What has happened into your day that helps a lot. Now, is that something that is only for younger people or what kind of age groups does that work for?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked that question. In the last one, so in last summer, I actually spent 2 weeks in San Juan, Puerto Rico and attended a language school there. And there were people of all ages. In fact, in my homestay, there was a 70-year-old woman who was taking classes. She was a Spanish teacher and she was actually about to retire, but she liked to keep up her Spanish. And she's like, I just love language schools. It's just an affordable way to travel. I feel energized. It's awesome. So she was in her 70s. Then there were a lot of professionals who were either learning the language for their jobs or were teachers. Spanish teachers, language teachers who were trying to brush up on the language. And then there were younger people as well. There were, you know, kids who were in college or even some high schoolers were there who were trying to learn the language to supplement what they were learning in school, or some of them who were actually Puerto Ricanos in this example, who were born in the United States and never really learned Spanish. And they said, I can't talk to half of my family because they don't speak English. And so I'm here trying to learn the language so that I can talk to my family. So that was really interesting. So it really was all ages.
But it's a very interesting experience. And I think it shows that it's not only the usual gap year after high school or after university that people take. It's a much broader audience nowadays of people doing these things. Where would you differentiate yourself being a tourist or a traveler? Tell me about the difference in the mindset.
So I like to think of myself as a traveler rather than a tourist. To me, a tourist is someone maybe who, you know, might hit a resort or enjoy the pool and the tours and things like that, where I think a traveler wants to dig a little deeper into the culture and into the community that's there. And that's how I like to travel. I like to really dive deep into the local culture and community and traditions and really learn about what it's like to live in that place as a resident.
Mm-hmm. No, 100% agree. I think that's the right approach of being a traveler. Now, you're helping people in getting there. So they haven't had the experience yet. They're not a traveler yet. They might have been a tourist, but they're not a traveler yet. And they want to get there. And obviously, they want to save some money. On your blog and with your coaching program, you help with that. How does that look like?
Yeah, so the coaching program is really exciting because I talk to people and really give them a personalized and customized approach to using points and miles and traveling for almost free. And we can do that really no matter what their idea is of traveling, right? Whether they want to go as a tourist or a traveler, we can utilize that approach. But it's very customized, very personal. We do kind of a review of where they are on the points and miles now, what kinds of credit cards they may have. And I know it's obviously different maybe for people outside the United States, although I have worked with some Canadians and they do have some possibilities, some options there. Not as many as we have here in the United States, but some options. And then we really just walk through it. What are your travel goals and how are we going to get you there? And that's personal for everybody, you know, depending on where they want to go, who they're going to travel with. That makes a difference too. If you have a large family or you're just going with maybe one person or maybe you're going solo, you know, that changes your strategy as well.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. You're talking a lot about people who haven't the travel experience or who don't have the travel experience yet. What's their biggest concerns? What was holding them back and what got them motivated to get in touch with you to get started?
Yeah, I think for a lot of people, it's fear of leaving what you know. Maybe what's comfortable, getting out of your comfort zone. Definitely, if you're going to someplace with a new language that maybe you're not familiar with or you're not comfortable with, that could be scary. But I think people, you know, also recognize that traveling is exciting. It's energizing. It kind of fills you up in a positive way to have those experiences. And so, you know, I try to help walk them towards where it's not so scary and instead it's a positive and something we can work towards. The hope is one day that we in the coaching program will actually travel as a cohort. So kind of bring people in as cohorts so they can support each other and then perhaps take a trip together to get over that fear.
I think that's a very good idea. That makes perfectly sense. Having someone who is on your side who has the experience that might make it easier, sort of a lower barrier of entrance into the world of travels. What are your next travel destinations? What's on your list?
Oh my gosh, I have so many. I think I've just gone crazy with wanting to travel lately. So I'm actually going to go to Finland in a couple weeks to go see if I can see the Northern Lights. So I'm very excited about that. Wishing luck on that one. Then after that, I'm going to go to Medellin, Colombia, which will be my first time in Colombia. So I'm very excited about that. We'll be spending some time in Tahiti this summer, which I kind of thought was one of those like tourist destinations. But when you start to dig down and dig into the culture, it's really beautiful what's there, and the nature and the marine life there is incredible. So I'm really excited to dig into everything that is there in Tahiti and get to know that island of Tahiti and the island of Moorea. And so I think that's what I have lined up right now. So we'll see what happens after that.
Okay, that sounds like a great plan. Before we come to the end of our chat today, what's one final thought that you want to leave our listeners with?
Keep language schools in mind, even if it's a language that maybe you don't currently speak or you have no knowledge of. You're just going to the country and maybe you can just learn a little bit of that language. But they offer cultural activities. They offer the homestays. It's a really safe, supportive way to travel and to get to know a country and a new culture. So I really highly recommend it. It's also super affordable. So that's a big plus.
Okay, that sounds good. Where can people find out more about you and your coaching program?
Sure. So my website is almostfreefamilytravel.com. Coaching program's on there. It's linked to my blog. And so, yeah, we'd love to have you take a look. And thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. I will put the links in the show notes, then you're just one click away.
Thank you.
Stephanie, thanks so much for your time today. I think that was a very good overview and should take away a little bit of the fear that travel needs to be expensive. It can be also very affordable and you still can see a lot of the world. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, Klaus here. Before you leave, I have a question. Are you a traveler? Do you have a favorite travel destination or a favorite travel experiences that you would like to share with the world? Then become a guest on the Why We Travel podcast. Simply message me and I will get you all the details for becoming an interview guest. And then we take it from there. That's it for now. I see you in the next episode and have a great day.